The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at countrylifefarm.com.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd. PA Days of Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series. Yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
4 career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program is a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
This is a house that Jack built, y'all. Remember this house. This was the land that he worked by hand. Yeah. It was the dream of an upright man. There was a room that was filled with love. Yeah. It was a love that I was proud of. This is a life, but a life that he planned on the love, the same old love in the house that Jack built.
The house that Jack built.
Remember this house. There was a fence that held our love.
There we go. And Seth Merrow joining us, along with Aretha, one of our favorites. And I saw the Aretha movie on one of the flights, actually. I don't know where I was coming to or from. And I don't know. It's like they tried to tell too much of her life story. It wasn't as energetic as you would have expected. You know, with all the great music and you know, she had an amazing life, but I don't know. And I love Jennifer Hudson. I mean, she's a mammoth talent, just like Seth Merrow. You're the Jennifer Hudson of Capital District handicapping.
That may be the only time that analogy comes up.
Well, you belt it out. You belt out the hits, just like
I do. I do belt it out, I suppose. Yeah, okay, I'll go along with that. Yeah, biopics can be hit or miss,
especially the music ones. Yeah, the music ones.
Yeah, that adds a whole other element.
Yeah, what's the best ones? The I suppose. Well, the one with Lou Diamond Phillips, Richie Valens, the Richie Valens.
Oh, right. And
that was good. That was good.
Johnny Cash with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. That was quite good. And yep. Both good. What else? The music. I like the ones I've said. I don't know if I've said this before. I love the ones that show like the era, particularly 50s and 60s. Like when they go to the Brill Building in New York, and they show, you know, all the offices where the people are auditioning and they're writing songs. Then they go into the studio, and I love that, you know, that kind of genre where you get to see a whole bunch of different. Yeah, there's all kinds of cameos of famous, you know, 50s and 60s types. Speaking of Jennifer Hudson, the Dreamgirls, I mean, technically is sort of a quasi. I mean, that touches on a bunch. That Thing You Do with Tom Hanks, that's evocative.
Oh. I have not ever seen that. That's on Netflix. That's on one of the streams. I keep meaning to pull it up.
It's like a trifle. It's just a little. It's cute. There's a record. There's one. What's the something records? Cadillac Records. Cadillac Records. That I saw fairly recently, which is this kind of a story. Yeah, I typically like those. I don't know how did we go off? It was Aretha. It was Aretha's. God knows, I go careening, you know, off to some direction. Seth was updating me the other day. He was marching toward an NHC qualification, and then he blew the turn.
I just don't get a chance to play enough. I hadn't played a contest in a long time. And Saturday, I was kind of looking. I had time between the morning shows and the afternoon shows. And I pulled up Horse Player, and there was one of the little $15 qualifiers for the Sunday qualifier. So I played that and qualified for Sunday. And I was playing Sunday. Yeah, and I texted you towards the end of the day because it was 12 races. And after the first eight, I was sitting number five, and I was about $12 out of a Vegas spot. And so with four races left, I felt pretty good that I may be able to make something happen. But it was a live contest. So you knew that if crazy things happened, crazy things were going to happen. And so that's sure enough how it played out. There was a Linda Rice Firster down at Aqueduct that I didn't use. I had a Chad Brown runner that was 6-1 that I thought was a good play, given that I would play, as they say, I was like $12 back. But people further down the list, I think we're looking at that Firster because it was a big price. And immediately 8 or 10 people leapfrogged over me. And then the last race of the sequence, there was a price out at Santa Anita and a bunch of people. So, the last four races, I was live, but it was not to be. But I'll keep plugging. Like I said, I don't get a chance to play enough in the contest. But I'd love to wind up out in Vegas as a player as opposed to a correspondent.
Well, you could do both.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that would be a unique perspective.
Well, Eddie Olczyk, right? Eddie's on the NBC broadcast, and he's playing in the BCBC.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
So hey, I think Numi did too. I think Numi would do that too. You know. He would.
Yeah.
Speaking of, by the way, what a great segue. Because I think today in the first, Olczyk makes his debut. The 2-year-old
right. Scratched.
All right. I'm pulling up. Olczyk is the only scratch out of that race. Boy, here's a weird. Speaking of scratches, did you do Keeneland today?
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right. So we're gonna handicap this, and because I was thinking of reaching out, to Marty or the like, but then I realized you were going to be on, and we could do it together. Todd Pletcher is going to visit though toward the end of the show, so we'll finally get to Todd to kind of clean sweep all of his success from the weekend. The eighth race today, the anchor, and this is bizarre. You had a 9-horse field of 3-year-old fillies in a starter allowance, and 4 of them have scratched.
Yeah.
Very strange. I picked Lindsey Schultz with that 20-1 shot, that Anna Gangsta. I thought that horse at 20-1, I thought was a crazy overlay turning back against a weaker group than she's been facing. I mean, she kept really nice company. She was against that horse of Brad Cox's we talked about with him, who I thought was poised to win the Ashland. Interstate Daydream.
Yeah, it comes up from Oaklawn, and I love the Oaklawn shippers this time of year. You know, with the Oaklawn meet, it has changed a little bit. It's changed, but it hasn't changed, because the Oaklawn meet typically would be over now, and so
Those
horses would disperse to other tracks around the country. And obviously, the Oaklawn meet goes longer, but you still get those horses that at this time of the year, with places like Keeneland opening and some other tracks heading into spring, summer, those Oaklawn horses still start to ship out. So you've been seeing them. One a nice little price, I think, Sunday at Keeneland came in from Oaklawn. So you got to keep your eyes open for those Oaklawn shippers this time of year. Probably the next, you know, with the Oaklawn meet still going on, the next couple of months or so, they're worth taking a look at.
Well, I do want to ask you your impressions of the Derby preps. We'll do that on the back end. Since we're into Keeneland, and actually first post is less than 2 hours away now. Let's do this, and I'm going to have to make some adjustments on the fly as well, because I really got affected by it. It's amazing. My top pick and my last pick, yeah, my first and fourth horses came out of that eighth, so I'm going to have to readjust. All right, talk about the 2-year-olds, first of all, because I landed on the 6-1 shot in here.
Which race are you looking at?
In the opener. What'd you do with the babies? With the 2-year-olds?
Let me flip. What did I do with my opening? Oh, right here. I went 4-3-8. I put a rivet on top, the Asmussen runner, by Competitive Edge. You know, not a long string of workouts. I will say I had Olchek on top. These are now move up picks. But I thought Rivet might be a little bit live. Alibi Ike, the other Wesley Ward runner, he had Olchek. And then Twist of Fate in the third spot. None of them have a big, strong, steady string of workouts. I just thought on all of them there were some connections and a little bit of breeding you may be able to hang your hat on in here. So I had 4-3-8.
Well, we're at loggerheads already, because I threw out Rivet, who I think has a look, being out of the Medaglia d'Oro mare, I think has kind of a two-turn look. Even with that 48-1 gate work, I, when it came to making a final decision, actually now I'll probably put Rivet fourth because I had Olchek in my mix. But when I said 6-1, top of my game, here's Louis Mendez again. And Mendez, of course, won the first 2-year-old race of the season at Keeneland on Friday. And this one is a Mark Valesky out of an Include mare. Boy, speaking of Airdrie, like we just did with Sid, but Pius Ashley, she herself was a stake horse, and there's a sibling in here, and I'm going to forget the sibling's name, but I'm going to look it up for you. Pius Ashley was a stake runner. She was fast. Actually, it's somebody else. It's another maiden race that there's a fast sibling, a City Zip sibling, but top of my game. I got such respect for Louis Mendez, and I think 6-1, I'm interested. Then I went to, then I was going to go to Olczyk. So now Olczyk comes out. How about Twist of Faith, the West Coast? This is West Coast's first runner. And I think there's reason to believe that John Enos means business here as well. Look at that, 35 2 3/8 getting ready, and Alibi Ike. So I'm not against Wesley by any means, but I want these other specialty trainers that get their 2-year-olds ready to run.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that in these races. And Wesley Ward doesn't win all of them, as we've seen so far. So, yeah, I'm not going to argue taking a shot.
All right. Well, then let's jump to the pick five. And it starts in race 4. And this is a maiden group of olders, filly and mares. You can take out the 4, ride the plan of Nacho Correas's, that was a horse that needed to be seriously considered, obviously. So that changes things up. What are you doing in the 4th?
I'm going to use Todd's first her at 8-1. Jose Ortiz on board, charging lady, 9-5-3. I just thought the horse could be a little bit live coming up from Palm Beach Downs and maybe well met in the debut. And again, if he can get a little bit of a price in here, why not? Underneath, I had used the 4, the 4 scratch, but Elia Esri, Chad Brown runner, debuted up at Saratoga, didn't run that well in the debut, now comes back. And these are the kind that I always think have the potential to come back, maybe improved. But, you know, you go to the sidelines as a lightly raced 2-year-old, even if it's a lightly raced 3-year-old in a similar situation from the 3-year-old to the 4-year-old season, but certainly 2-3, a little break. I think they can come back and be improved. And this one had been working down at Palmetto's, subsequently the last workout at Keeneland. I could see that one, as I say, coming back improved and with some experience, with the most experience, the second most experience in the field. Steal My Sunshine for Wesley Ward with the early speed could be a little bit dangerous in here with Joel Rosario. So I went 9-5-3. Hope that the morning line holds up on Charging Lady.
Well, as I mentioned, there was a City Zip sibling that was involved in a maiden race, and this is it. One full moon. Helen Pitts can win with a firster. And I'm very interested. A nice string of works for One Full Moon, a Malibu Moon out of the Escondorea mare, and the City Zip sibling, as mentioned, was quite fast. And so name escapes me again, but I had the third graph full pages with the siblings on the screen, but not printed. So One Full Moon at 15-1. I'm not going to say that I'm scratching in. I'm quite happy to take a firster against this group because there's obviously no killers in here.
I'll just toss out the talking about the siblings. My top pick, Charging Lady. There was a sibling called Charge It. Three starts in the career, a second, a win, and a second in the Florida Derby, obviously for the same connection. So again, there was a little bit of breeding. I'm with you. This is a race where a fresh face seems a little bit attractive.
Well, and we'll talk to Todd in about 20 minutes. And you mentioned Charge It, you know, sitting right at 19th right now on the Derby rankings and getting plenty of attention. And we'll find out why this older sister, why she was so delayed getting to the races. But she does have, she was on the farm, actually, looking back in as recently as February. So she only got to Palm Beach Downs in March. Interesting, actually. I mean, I used her, and I respected her. I had her as my 4th pick, but after the scratch of Ride the Plan, I think Runaway Wife has got to be looked at, the McPeak. This is a Fern Circle homebred gun runner out of the Majestic Perfection mare, Perfect Wife, and you know, two moderate starts as a 2-year-old and comes back here and should be that much better, and of course gets first Lasix as well. And I will probably add the Wesley as the 4th horse now, and I'm glad I did not build my pick 5 and pick 4 tickets because of these scratches. All right, now we get into two races, Seth, that I wrote about and I put up on Twitter this morning.
the fifth and the seventh are unbelievably challenging. And this fifth race, which is a non-winners of two lifetime for three-year-olds, not in three and up, three-year-olds exclusively, this is a absolute mind-bender. What are you doing here?
Yeah, I mean, late pick four, I'd probably use all four of mine. I went 12, 9, 7, and 2, but I could point to another three or four.
Yep.
Probably have similar confidence. But I went out to, again, Todd Pletcher, first-time starter back in September, won in that debut at Belmont. And again, maybe now off the layoff, comes back with a little added maturity. But really, with the number fired that day, probably just has to come back at that level. But will that be the case off the layoff? But I thought that one was intriguing. Sky and Sand, it's Asmussen and Jose Ortiz. Again, comes up from a couple of starts at Oak Lawn. The maiden breaker two back was pretty good. The follow-up, not so much. But the follow-up was a two-turn race. I think coming up from Oak Lawn and getting the cutback to a sprint is going to be beneficial. If that morning line holds up, you know, the 8-1 will be attractive to start off a pick four. Underhill's Tab, the number seven, nice little bullet workout just a little under a week ago. And another one that I think is going to appreciate the cutback. The debut out at the Fairgrounds was a win. They had enough confidence to move into a stakes race and just miss. And then, as I say, last time they stretched out, and the horse didn't seem to appreciate the two turns, finishing behind Pioneer Medina, who I think is a nice horse. But the cutback and the bullet work are attractive on that one. And Mickey from Wexford, 10-1 on the morning line. You mentioned John Ennis, this horse, debut winner last fall at Keeneland, and like the top pick, has been off since. But if this horse comes back with some of that 2-year-old to 3-year-old maturity, could be interesting as well. So I'm 12, 9, 7, and 2, but I'm interested to hear your take.
Well, before we get my take, we certainly need to hear this.
Who's the answer?
Oh, hi. Where's Mrs. Stanley?
In her cabana, sir.
Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to meet her there. That's cabana 6, right?
Cabana 1.
1, right.
You would like something to eat or drink, senor?
Actually, I would.
Charge it to the Underhill, senor.
Yeah, that's right. Do you have any caviar?
Si, senor, beluga, but it is $80 a portion.
Well, then I better just take two portions of that. How's the lobster thermidor?
I recommend it, senor.
I recommend it.
Good, that'll be fine. Bring two bottles of Dom Perignon to Cabana 1.
Very good, senor.
And put down $30 for yourself, huh?
Muchas gracias, senor.
It's the nicest place.
Well, there you go, and I'll have a steak sandwich and a steak sandwich. Underhill's Tab is back. Underhill's Tab. It's currently the best named horse in racing.
I didn't even put all that together. Very good. Yes, yes, yes.
You're just catching on to the Fletch, to the great.
I am just catching.
Oh
on.
My God! I'll tell you what. You know what, Slappy? You're killing me.
and they're remaking or have already remade, and it's waiting to find a streaming service, I think, with John Hamm. They remade Fletch.
With John Hamm as Fletch?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
I just heard an interview with him within the last week or so.
How about that? Well,
yeah.
Well, interesting. It'll have to be special to equal, and I love John Hamm, but the big and bad man fan as there is, but to equal what Chevy Chase pulled off as Fletch is going to be very, very difficult. Well, I picked Underhill's Tab, and this is one we had so much fun with over the winter, and I guess I am a bit of a sucker when it comes to the story behind the name. I will tell you this, the one horse in here, Sisaway Now, this is a live horse. If Mitch Merrill can work out a trip from inside, that debut at Oak Lawn was absolutely on a par with anything anybody else has in here. And I used Mickey from Wexford too, but at 20-1,
yeah,
I absolutely had to have absolutely had to have Sisaway Now involved. In fact, actually, I just pulled up my picks. I actually put Sisaway Now on top at 20-1 because of the overlay, and Underhill's Tab second. Then I went out to Verratti, and then Mickey from Wexford. So 1-7-12-2 for me, but I thought Buckingham Prince was eligible to win in here, and even Kiss-A-Lot, I didn't think could be ruled out for Eric Heitzman, the 11. I thought this was a murderous group.
I totally agree, and I'm going to give you credit on TV this afternoon at the price. I'll have to mention the one horse and give you a push.
All right, and you also have an opportunity to have fun with the Fletch reference.
I may have to pull up the clip.
Yeah, you pull up the clip. Go with the steak sandwich. Go with the first order, the first time. The first go round when he orders the steak sandwich and steak
Bloody
sandwich.
Mary and a steak sandwich.
But
steak
there sandwich. You go. Yeah, there you go. Sixth race, mile and an eighth on the grass, and they did keep this on the grass. And there's an interesting first time North America for Graham Motion, who is suddenly in Fuego, King Vega 8-1. But there's also an 8-1 that I liked. Eric Foster has got Cool Rags. Who, you know, certainly has gotten good with the last pair at Turfway, but I don't see why moving back to the grass is an issue. And I think Cool Rags is going to be overlooked in here. So for me, in the sixth, 9, 6, 4, and 5.
I went 6, 5, 4, and 8. I was kind of hoping to see if Todd feels like he's going to have a good day. Aviano on top. Arabian Princess for Dallas, I thought, was good off the last try. Raylu Gutierrez on board. He's been fun to watch. You know, upstate New York's own Raylu Gutierrez had the big winter, and now he's here at Keeneland, and so rooting for him as well. Cool Rags I liked as well. And Land Biscuit I thought could be a player coming up from Gulfstream for Belmont. Flavian Prada on board. Talking about somebody getting off to a hot start at the meet, I think you have to watch everything he rides. And so if you get a little bit of a price on one of his horses, it's worth an extra look.
All right. Well, then the seventh, and here we are with the other. I mean, as I wrote, even with the race, the Nightcap being turned into a five-horse field, you get through this sequence, you're going to get paid. And the seventh, we talked yesterday with Chad Brown. I didn't discuss Winter Pool, who's in this field and I think is very eligible to win. I had to ask him about Stage Raider, of course, the sibling of Justify and the ill-fated The Lieutenant. And by the way, in the first race today, Mr. Gordy for John Hancock is the Lieutenant's first runner. Stage Raider comes back in this second level allowance going 8.5. And for me, Winter Pool is going to get a big pace set up. I thought that Vicky Oliver was clever. Hidden Stash shows up here, broke his maiden at Keeneland, and those two races over the winter on the grass, it feels like they were strictly a chance to leg this horse up and get him ready for this spot at Keeneland, because Vicky Oliver likes to win at Keeneland. Then Stage Raider and Laughing Boy, who might hold on as part of the pace. 9-6-4-7 for me.
I went 4-9-7-3. I looked at Hidden Stash as a Syracuse guy, for folks who don't remember, when this one went to the Derby last year. Part of the story was Jim Boeheim owns a little piece of this one. And I looked on what you were saying, that the turf to dirt move and back to Keeneland. I just couldn't quite pull the trigger there. But I thought the two Chad horses, Stage Raider and Winter Pool, were absolutely live in here. Laughing Boy, interesting off of the layoff, but some nice workouts down at Gulfstream coming up for Kenny McPeak with a little bit of early punch. I don't know how effective that will be over the last few days. But Portos, also a player for Todd Pletcher, hasn't been seen since last June, but another one coming up, some okay works down in Florida. But as you say, this is another race where I can point to two or three others and feel just as good. But I went 4-9-7-3.
Very good. Well, looking at when it comes to Laughing Boy, whenever I see Laughing Boy in the PPs, I always think of Buckaroo Banzai and Dr. Lizardo. right?
Yeah.
Laugh while you can, monkey boy. Now we get to this eighth race that's been completely torn up, and just the 2, 4, 6, 7, 8 left, and I suppose that Cherie DeVoe, Cherie becomes much the horse to beat, I suppose, with Mercy Warren.
Yeah, that's the way I went, 7, 4, and 8. Mercy Warren certainly looked good in the maiden breaker down at the fairgrounds, and Cherie having a very good year. This one owned by her husband and Maggie Moss, and just off that maiden breaker, as you say, what remains, that one looks good. Santa Elena could be playable, and Dream Music in the mix for me as well with Tommy Amos, 7, 4, and 8.
7, 4, and 8, and I think we're able to.
Any freeze, preferably Presto.
There we go. No, I blew it. I'm not as good at this. I need that sound machine. What do they call that? The soundboard. I should have a soundboard to bang things out. I will play around with this with my pick 4 and pick 5 because I don't know what. I suppose. Boy, you know, now I see. I did not like Amos. Dream Music in the eighth beforehand, but now I think she becomes imperative as part of this thing. So, wow, I'd like to keep it as narrow as possible. All right.
Keeneland's been fun so far, though, I will say. Yeah. The contest I played on Sunday, one of my nice winners was there. And then opening day, we had one of the bankroll promotions at Capital OTB. I played on behalf of a bankroll team. I played an early pick 4 and a late pick 4.
You hit.
The early pick 4 for, like $3,100. Started it off with a $45 horse. So far, so good on Keeneland. So hopefully everybody out there is having similar luck.
Nice job. Let's... shift gears from Keeneland, and we've got about 6-8 minutes. What did you make of the last round of major derby preps? We obviously have got this Lexington that they're drawing probably right about now at Keeneland, but and it could very well impact the Derby gate. But some thoughts about last weekend?
I thought all three were impressive. I mean, it continues the trend that I've mentioned, you know, that seemed like the last two rounds of preps, the cream started to rise to the top a little bit. The early, you know, the first couple of months of the year, it was hard to get too excited about the three-year-olds, but this weekend continued that trend. I thought Zandon looked really good in the bluegrass. I was interested, so Marty McGee tweeted out, you know, kind of his updated odds, and he had Zandon on top. I'm going to be interested to see how that shakes out in the conversations over the next couple of weeks. To me, it's still Epicenter on top, but the performances this weekend certainly stood out a little bit. Zandon, Mo Donegal looked really good in New York, no question about it. Early voting, I didn't hear what did Chad say yesterday. Are they on the fence with that one still?
They are, and they very well may take the cloud computing path like they did successfully to the Preakness with Seth, and he's also monitoring, you know, he saw what happened on Sunday with Forbidden Kingdom and Classic Causeway you know, extricating themselves from the pace picture. So, you know, he's gonna evaluate the pace and how the horse, so the horse doing okay, he's going back to the track. They'll take a wait and see. And he's got the right owner, certainly, in Klarman.
Yeah.
You know, Seth doesn't need to, you know, just be in the Derby to, you know, to lead for, you know, 5 furlongs and finish 7th, you know?
No, I think that's great. You got a talented, lightly raced horse, and you're not getting sucked in by the siren call of the Derby necessarily. I appreciate that, and if they show up, they'll feel good about it, and the better can feel good about it too, that they really thought about the decision. But then we go out to the West Coast, and Taba, super impressive, obviously big number, and lately raced. And I think for those of us that have been around the game as long as I have, you kind of just automatically fall into, well, it's too lightly raced to jump out in the Derby. But you know, we look back at the last 10 years or so, how many of those rules have been broken? Sid earlier was talking about the sires with Derby contenders now. I mean, that was one of the first things that went by the wayside. They used to rely on the old dosage index, and then that started to go away. But, you know, it was only a few years ago, Justify gets it done, very lightly raced. And how different is Taba from Justify as far as the record so far? One race. Again, it's tough for me to pull the trigger on a horse that is that lightly raced. But that said, it wouldn't shock me if the horse ran very well in the Derby. But again, coming out of the weekend and the Derby preps, I think all three of those winners are serious contenders moving forward. And pretty much the second place horses in each of those have to be paid attention to as well. And then undercard races, the one that kind of jumps out was Speaker's Corner. Golden Pal looked good. I thought that was one of the most impressive performances of the weekend. And I was talking on the recap show I did on Sunday morning, and I said Golden Pal may have been the most impressive performance of the weekend, going out, taking the lead, and just running as fast and as well as he did. And then I kind of got to the New York section of it, and I said, maybe I take that back. Speaker's Corner, but I think defines Facile Victory, and he looked pretty good. And so far this year, he has clearly defined himself as a serious player in the older division, but he kind of had to do it a little bit of, you know, put in those big performances, validate those that we saw down at Gulfstream, away from Gulfstream, and he did it in the Carter, looked very good. So he'll be fun. And it continues to be a storyline of three-year-olds from last year who have now come back as four-year-olds and just have looked phenomenal and look like they'll kind of be dominating the older division this year. He continues that story. So it was a really good weekend of racing, no question about it. Lots of good performances all across the country.
Who's your keep an eye on Derby price, nutty horse?
That's a good question. I didn't see in the I will play around with the Simplification, but I'm not sure what we're going to get as a price. But I think, you know, the third place finish, I think we'll get that one overlooked a little bit. But I do think that horse is going to be very playable in the Derby.
I've liked Simplification from day one, and he got dirtied up a little bit. He's going to have that, you know, that Thunder Gulch.
Exactly. I thought exactly the same thing.
Right. That third, that usually scares some people off. So, yeah, I'm with you there. Good job.
Yeah. We'll see how good on the first Saturday of May. But exactly. I'll play around with them a little bit.
There you go. All right. What else?
Oaklawn continues to be fun. Still playing some Oaklawn. And this afternoon on TV, I'll be taking a look at a little Tampa and Keeneland. And as I say, Keeneland's been fun so far. We'll see how it continues playing out. But there have been some nice mix of nice prices and some logical horses. And I think the picks have been very playable at Keeneland. And I'm going to jump in for some of that again this afternoon. Prevalence looked good in the Commonwealth, speaking of Saturday. As I say, nostalgia. Yeah, I mean, on the 3-0 Philly side, Nostalgic won at Aqueduct. I'm not sure that is one of the ones amongst the 3-year-old fillies. I mean, it was a nice performance. I don't know if she's stacking up with the 3-year-old fillies, which again are winding up to be just as exciting as the males as we come into Oaks Derby weekend. But I'm not sure I'm jumping on Nostalgic's bandwagon off of the weekend.
Well, she's gotten better with each of these three dirt starts, and Venti Valentine, you know, had already established herself. So I think the two of them both, you know, both serious, heading to Kentucky.
I mean, yeah, except the class at this point is just so strong.
Yes, it
so
is.
Strong.
Yes, it is.
Man.
No doubt.
So, as I say, it's going to be an exciting weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Well, Seth, I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the way. We'll catch up. I'm trying to think where I'm going to be on the road starting
starting the end of the week, we've got a week's Tina's got vacation, so I'm the escort for vacation with Tina, and then I will travel on to Louisville, but we'll talk to you from the road next week.
Sounds good. Always fun to catch up on the road. Maybe we'll plug in on TV at some point too to give us a boots on the ground assessment.
Boots on the ground, baby. That's that's what it's all about. There he is, Shecky Merrow, everybody, and he's the greatest. Thank you, Seth.
Good luck to everybody today.
Seth Merrow, folks. Seth Merrow 2 on your Twitter. Let's see. What do we got? We got 15 minutes. All right. I'm going to go get Todd then. Let's get Pletcher in here, right? You don't need me to tap dance around and do all kinds of now he's got a machine. Maybe he's not. I told him 11:45. So maybe I do have to vamp for 3 minutes. He's funny. It's gotten so with Pletcher that when I reach out to him and I say, "You available for a visit?" He'll come back and say, 11:45. So sure enough, he might budget only that. He might be on the phone though too. He's got clients, and you know, and you know, of course, the famous running joke, which is, you know, his calls with Mike Rapoli, where Rapoli might call to check on one horse. and then keep him on the phone for 2 hours. that's one of our. I love kidding him about that. All right, let's try him again. Let's see if he's ready. So usually I get to leave this with. There it goes. There it goes. It's ringing. Hey. Todd Pletcher joins us. I was saying, because the first time it went straight to voicemail, I said he might be on the phone, and I talked about the running joke, the Mike Rapoli calls, where he calls to ask you about one horse and then keeps you on the phone for 2 hours.
At least.
Well, I could keep you on the phone for 2 hours because you had yourself a very special day, and. You know, you've had your share, but how did that stack up, actually? Let's call it the weekend. Let's call it Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, if you include Friday, sure. It was, it was a terrific weekend. We had some horses run really well and, some exciting prospects for down the road. So it was a great day for sure. Great couple of days, I should say.
Let's start with Friday and talk about the Ashland and Nest, because you know the way she'd come back and based on where she left off as a 2-year-old, you kind of had to feel like she needed to take a real step forward. She not only stepped forward, but she stepped forward with authority.
In training, like she was going to perform really well. Her business kept getting better and better, and you know, she's a filly that's bred to get better with longer distances, filly that's bred to get better with a little more time, and you could kind of see it just, through her training this winter and early spring that she was just getting stronger and stronger.
Wow. I mean, the way she ran away from this group, and this was a solid group. I mean, and then to earn, to earn the kind of figure she got, that puts her, right in amongst, what has to be, Todd. I mean, you've participated in enough of these Oaks. Is this the best Oaks that you've seen come together?
Yeah, I would say it kind of reminds me of, the year that it was Beholder and Dreaming of Julia, and we had unlimited budget, and then surprised everyone with Princess of Silmar. And, it seems like that type of an Oaks where there's just, some really, really good fillies. I mean, you got Echo Zulu, who's still undefeated, and shook Philly, still undefeated, and then a couple of these other Phillies. Wayne's Philly obviously has stepped out and tried the boys and arguably ran the best race that day. So, I mean, it's a really deep field.
You realize now you've done it to both of us, because now Eddie Stanko is going to call you. He's going to call me. He's going to... I guarantee you, you're going to hear from Eddie today. All right.
There's a good chance. There's a good chance. Definitely we'll be hearing, getting some messages from him as we get closer to the Oaks.
Unbelievable. Too funny. All right. Nest obviously becomes a contender, and Curlin daughter. I want to do the other stuff, but I do have to ask you, talk about your collection of Phillies for the Oaks.
Yeah, I mean, right now, obviously, Ness coming off that win, we've got Goddess of Fire, who's coming off, I thought a very good second to Shook's Philly in the Gulfstream Oaks. And, we're still considering it with Faber, who finished third to Echo Zulu in the Fairgrounds Oaks. And got a little bit of a tricky trip that day. I think, if she goes to Churchill and trains well, that she's a little bit of a dark horse. And then we got the Philly from Dubai that is undefeated and has been training really well for us so far. So we're excited about her, and she's going to breeze at Palm Beach Downs tomorrow, and we'll see what she does when we get to Churchill. But she's probably a little bit under the radar. We don't know exactly what she's been running against in Dubai, but she's certainly been impressive and just kind of followed up suit here for us, and trains very impressively.
Amazing. Shahama and Goddess of Fire for the Brunetti family, and I suppose Classy Edition is going to be just on the outside a little bit, but she could maybe work her way in.
Yeah, I think we're actually going to take a step back with her.
Okay.
Going to freshen her up a little bit, focus on this summer. She's been going pretty steadily, since we picked her up out of the Jacob Westbotter and the Fasig Tipton Timonium two-year-old training cell, and she's really been going at it pretty much since then. So we decided to freshen her up a little bit.
Right.
And I didn't think she ran badly, but to be honest with you, I love the way that filly was training going into that race, and I thought the mile and an eighth was what she was looking for, and she just turned a little flat the last 16th of a mile, but didn't get beat badly. I think she's a filly that could come back this summer and take another step forward.
Let's talk about the rest of the day Saturday, and beside Classy Edition's run in the Gazelle, we'll start with the Wood win and Mo Donegal under Joel Rosario, and a heady ride. And when you give a leg up to Joel, that's what you're hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Joel fits him really well, and he's a horse that wants to settle and early on in the race. And make one run, and he has the capabilities, as he showed there, to turn in a very strong final quarter, final 3/8. I was really concerned when Asmussen's horse didn't break and kind of left Chad's horse loose on the lead. I thought that was potentially going to compromise our chances. Fractions weren't quite as quick as we would have liked them to be, but he was able to save ground on both turns and, got a nice split when he needed it, and came home the last quarter in 23 and change, which is hard to do in a, mile and eighth situation. So I thought it was a big run from him.
In terms of what was a little bit of, he had a couple of little hiccups over the winter with him, but obviously, you're in prime shape now. You're going to need a jock, correct?
No, we've got Irad.
Right.
He'd been on the horse, he'd ridden him before, and he actually he was on him for his final breeze prior to going to shipping up to Belmont, and so he knows him very well, and you know, we kind of knew going in that it's that time of year when not everyone can be everywhere, and so it worked out well that Joel was able to go to New York and take the assignment. But you know, we assumed that he was pretty much committed to Epicenter no matter what happened on Saturday.
How about the pair that the maiden that actually looked competitive long term, and Golden Code too. I mean, Golden Code, there was plenty of people that had at least a passing interest. Where do you go from here with those two?
Well, you know, obviously it's time to regroup. We took a shot with those two, and it didn't work out for either one. So Golden Code will go back to the New York Bred Allowance ranks. At some point, we'll freshen them up a touch, and long term, we'll go back to the maiden, and we'll see if we can get them pointed back in the right direction. But you know, those ownership groups, Mike Rapoli's not afraid to take a chance, and we certainly know that Calumet's not. And last year, they were rewarded with Bourbonic, and this year it didn't work out.
The three-year-old sprint, you nailed Chad and Seth Klarman, an hour and a half later with Witt catching highly respected. That was a very good effort off the bench.
I thought it was a super effort. At the eighth pole, I didn't think he had a chance to get there. And to be honest, I didn't think he, watching it live, I didn't think he got his head down in time, but when they showed the replay, I was like, wow, we got a terrific head bob here, and you know, it's going to be closer than I thought, but we were fortunate. We did get a super head bob, but I was very pleased with the way he ran. He dug in late, and it looks like he's back in the form that he was early in his two-year-old year.
You know, he's a practical joke out of Medaglia d'Oro mare, Numero d'Oro. I guess there's no rush to stretch him out with some of the things available, like the Woody.
Yeah, that's what we're focused on. You know, we think he's a one-turn horse, and we're going to focus on that. The Woody Stevens will be our next goal, and you know, then hopefully if he's good enough, the Alan Jerkins would be another possible target. So it's a couple grade one opportunities out there at 7 furlongs, and that's what we're hoping for.
Got to ask you, because I asked Chad the same question yesterday regarding reinvestment risk. What is everybody going to do about Speaker's Corner?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, that horse is in serious beast mode at the moment, and we ran second to him a couple times with Fearless, who came back and won the Ghost Zapper after he got away from him. But yeah, and I know that they were very, very high on that horse early on, and it looks like they've found his specialty now. You know, the Met Mile, I assume, is going to be his next target.
Yeah.
And if Flightline shows up there, that'll be an interesting matchup.
Where does Mind Control go from here?
I talked to Rick Sacco, and we're gonna ship him to Churchill with Mo Donegal this weekend, and point for the Churchill Downs handicap.
Nice, good. That'll everybody's going where where Speaker's Corner isn't. how about Emmanuel? Not a bad effort for Emmanuel in the Bluegrass.
No, it wasn't bad, but at the same time, you know, having seen how well this horse trains, when he turned up the backside and made the lead and fractions were pretty comfortable, I was confident that, you know, he was going to be hard to beat from that point, and seemed like just kind of the last 16th he flattened out a bit. The one thing that's kind of hard to determine about the day at Keeneland is just how the track was playing. I mean, the weather was just all over the place throughout the day, and the track was drying out as the day went along, and so I don't know if he was, you know, just outrun by two really good horses, or maybe speed wasn't really holding up on the day, you know, in two turn races, but we just didn't have much to compare it to with the constant changing of the track condition and the weather conditions in general. But he's also a horse that's very strongly bred for the turf, especially on the bottom side. So we're probably gonna give that a try at some point. He went to Windstar for a little freshening. We might go the Pennine Ridge route and see if he does well in there and set him up for the Belmont Derby. But we'll get him in this summer and breeze him on the grass and take a look at that.
Speaking of grass, I should mention too, Grand Sonata second in the Transylvania, right?
He was, yeah, ran well. We were hoping to get off the rail at some point. We just kind of got stuck in there, and you know, I think especially when you get a little bit of rain at Keeneland, that the middle part of the turf course is where you want to be in the finish. But wasn't able to work our way out there. I thought he, like always, showed up and ran hard, and you know, it's a good effort from him. He's super consistent.
Well, here's the time where everybody's waiting the lightning round of runners, particularly today. And Chargett's older sister, what took her so long to get to the races?
She came into us last year as a three-year-old. She had a little setback and then, you know, needed some time off for that. So just, I'm not really sure what took her till her three-year-old year to come into us, but then yeah, she had that one setback, and next thing you know, it's her four-year-old year. But she's a pretty sharp filly. She's trained better this go-around than she did last year. Not positive that she's the kind that's going to pop first time out.
Fair enough. Later on the card, you've also got Verratti, and Luis Saez is going to have to work out a trip.
Yeah, 12 posts is not ideal. This horse is training super. I thought he's great in his debut. I'd look for him to run well today.
I thought so, too. Aviano?
I thought his comeback race last time at Gulfstream was better than looks on paper, and so I think he could take a step forward today.
I should ask you about Chargett for a second. You know, you're going to have to sweat out. You and Mandy are going to have to sweat out the result on Saturday.
Looks going in Lexington.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he'd be right on the bubble of getting in now, and, you know, we'll see what happens on Saturday with the last points race. You know, you would like to think that, you know, he'd get in with 40 points, but I guess nothing's guaranteed yet.
Hey, at the worst, he's going to be 21st after Saturday, and it just, you know, somebody's not going to run or there's going to be something, because I think it'd be wonderful for Mandy Pope to get a Derby starter in.
Yeah, he really came out of the Florida Derby well. I love the way he's training, so hopefully he gets the opportunity.
Pletcher Racing on Twitter, everybody, and you and Chad need to negotiate who's going to go where now going forward.
Yeah,
that was great.
It was one of those days. There was you know, no perfect right move.
It was kind of funny, actually. Todd, thanks so much. I'll see you in a few weeks. Well done.
All right, Steve. Thank you.
Todd Pletcher, everybody. And what a great way to wrap up another another breakneck morning here at the races, Sirius XM. Thanks to Todd Pletcher and Shecky Merrow. He's going to kill me. Sid, Sirewatch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale, and Dick Powell this morning, the Hong Kong Jockey Club action from the Valley, where it's happy. Good luck if you're playing today. I will make the adjustments to my Keeneland thoughts, and I will get it up on the website. Give me about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, half an hour. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
With Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at countrylifefarm.com.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day of the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABread.com.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.